ברוכים הבאים, ערב שבת קודש, פרשת בשלח, פרשת שירה. We are at the Jewish radio on the show of Lecha Dodi. We're here to talk about the parasha. And when we open the parasha, one of the things that are the main stories in that parasha is the story of the man. And Am Yisrael, they were complaining they didn't have what to eat. Hashem brings them man min ha-shamayim, and with that, people have what to eat right now. And we all read the Parashat Haman on Tuesday, the big segula. But when we start reading this story of the man, it starts with a big complaint of Am Yisrael. It says in the parasha that Am Yisrael started complaining, Ve'ilonu kol adat bnei Yisrael al Moshe ve'al Aaron b'midbar. Everybody gathered and they made a demonstration. We want food. ויאמרו עליהם בני ישראל, מי יתנו מותנו ביד אדוני בארץ מצרים בשבתנו על סיר הבשר, באוכלנו לחם לסובע, כי הוצאתם אותנו למדבר הזה, להעמיד את כל הרעב, הקהל הזה ברעב. עם ישראל are complaining, you took us to the desert, we have nothing to eat over here, it's better we should have died in מצרים, and not over here dying from hunger, which is a terrible, terrible death. And עם ישראל, with that, said their complaint that they have nothing to eat, and Hashem therefore brings them man min ha-shamayim. When we take a look at last week's parasha, we found that Am Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim. All they took with them was the matzot. They baked the matzot, and that's all they took with them. And the pasuk says, "Vayofu et abatzek asher hotziu mimitzrayim ugot matzot, ki lo chametz." כי גורשו ממצרים ולא אכלו להתמהמה, וגם צדה לא עשו להם. עם ישראל didn't have any time to spend, therefore, right away, לא אכלו להתמהמה. Right away, they made a rush matzah, and they came out with it from Mitzrayim. Rashi says over there, that is the big praise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Am Yisrael in Yirmiyah, beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah, Perek Bet. It says over there, זכרתי לחסד נעורייך, חוות כלולותייך, לכתך אחריי במדבר בארץ לא זרועה, Rashi says, why did they get that big praise? Because of this pasuk over here. Gam tzedah lo asu lahem laderech. Am Yisrael didn't take anything with them to the road. No food. Why not? Why Am Yisrael didn't take any food to the road? They should have put a package together, fill up their luggage with food. They have all kind of people that needs to eat. They need to eat, their children need to eat, their babies need to eat, the elderly need to eat. They didn't take anything. So it says over here that Hashem remembers that as something that's ra'ui l'shvach, magid shivchan shel Yisrael. This comes to give the praise of Am Yisrael, to tell the story of the praise of Am Yisrael. Shelo amru, Am Yisrael didn't say, Ech netzeh l'midbar belo tzedah. Ela yaminu ve'alchu. Am Yisrael didn't make any calculations. It's time to go out. Hashem says, go out of Mitzrayim. We're not even taking anything with us. One, only matzot, and goodbye. We out the door. They didn't take anything with them. And therefore, Rashi says, Hu shemefurash b'kabbalah, that's what the pasuk in Yirmiyah is coming to praise Am Yisrael for this very thing, that he didn't take with them any food to go out of Mitzrayim. And Hashem says on that, Zacharti l'chesed n'oraych, I remember the chesed you made for me when you were young. Avat klulotayich, before we got married, the love you showed me when you were kala, avat klulotayich, lechtech acharai b'midbar, b'eretz ozua, you went after me to the desert, a place that doesn't have any food, eretz lo zua, masachar meforash acharav, therefore Hashem praises Am Yisrael and says, kodesh Yisrael la'Hashem, reshit vuato, kol ochlav yeshamu, and so on and so forth. Am Yisrael praised so beautifully by Hashem Yitbarach over here. But a month later already, they're complaining, there's no food, we want food. Ve'yalonu, kol ha-ka'al, that's the pasuk of here, kol ha-dad me-Yisrael al-Moshe va'al-Aaron b'midbar. So this thing didn't last for too long. Am Yisrael right away started complaining. And we need to understand that if they get a praise, it's not only that they got a praise, a temporary praise for 1 month only, and then they lost it out. What's going on over here? That's the first question. Second question is, if Hashem wants to praise Am Yisrael for going to the desert, it would be much bigger praise if Hashem would say a different thing. What is it? The pasuk in Dvarim says that the desert was a terrible, horrible place. And the pasuk says, וניסה מחורה ונלך את כל המדבר הגדול והנורא הוא. This desert was big and terrible and fearful and scary. גדול ונורא. It's not the only פסוק that says such a thing. In פרשת עקב, we also find that the פסוק says that the מדבר was a place of נחש ושרף. What is that נחש ושרף? רשי says, what was the גדול ונורא? שהיו בו נחשים כקורות והקרבים כקשתות. That's what Rashi says in פרשת דברים, which means the desert was not a regular desert. This was a very terrible, horrible, fearful desert. It was such a desert that the snakes in that desert were as thick as a beam, but not a small beam. This was like a Trump beam, a real beam, a very big beam. And the snakes over there were that big. The akravim, the scorpions, were huge. Kekshatot, like bows. Like you have a bow and arrow, the size of a bow. This was a real scorpion. So you might say, okay, so they'll take their chances. They went into the desert. It's not better than being in Mitzrayim. It's not worse than being in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, it wasn't that good. So they go to the desert. If they'll meet such a snake, they'll take their luck and they'll fight it out. But the Sforno says that Chazal tell us that the place was such a desert that nobody ever set a foot in because it was so full of snakes. It was completely place of snakes and scorpions. They didn't. It's not like you can miss them. You go into that place. It was completely full of snakes and scorpions. And therefore, it was a very, very scary place, very dangerous desert. And Am Yisrael at that time didn't know that they would be provided with Amud Esh and Amud Anan that would protect them. They just went into the desert because Hashem said so. And although they knew right now, at this point, that they're going into a desert that's full of snakes and nobody ever set a foot in there, this Sforno says, it's a scary place. But Am Yisrael didn't make any calculations and they went into such a place. So therefore, if I have to give a praise to Am Yisrael and I have to say this pasuk, זכרתי לחסד נורייך, אהבת גלולותך, לכתך אחרי במדבר, בארץ לא זרועה. I would say that the Am Yisrael went into such a desert, they went into the lion cage. That is much worse than not having food. Snakes and scorpions, that's an imminent danger. Food, we're going in without food, so we're going to last a few days with those matzot. But going into a place that the snakes, that's a terrible, horrible place. So therefore, that praise is not being said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here, and we need to understand why. And to understand clearly what's going on over here, we need to realize that Am Yisrael are baking matzot, and they're not allowed to eat over here any chametz. And why not? One might ask, why not? Why is it that Am Yisrael need to bake matzot and not allowed to have any chametz? So normally we learn that they didn't have time, ki lo yachlu litmamea, so they needed to make a very quick bread, something to eat. And since they were rushing, the only thing that was able to be done very quickly was the matzot. This is how normally we learn. But this is machloket in Chazal. The Am Mefarshim that say that Pesach Mitzrayim on that year was only one day. And some say that Pesach Mitzrayim was 7 days. And if it was 7 days, therefore Am Yisrael were not allowed to have chametz at those days. And they had to have matzot, because on Pesach you eat matzot. And this is how the Ramban learns. The Ramban learns over here that on that day it was Pesach. And since it was Pesach, Am Yisrael had to make matzot, which means it's different than normally people learn. People learn normally that Pesach was given to us because they went out of Mitzrayim and they didn't have time to bake matzot. So quickly, to bake chametz, so quickly they baked whatever they could make, and that came out to be matzot. This is how normally these psukim are learned, and therefore we receive the Chag of Pesach, and therefore we make matzot to commemorate that, and therefore we're not allowed to eat chametz and seor. But the truth of the matter is that we see already long time ago in the time of Avraham Avinu that his wife Sarah baked matzot. Kumi asiu got, Ma'ari asiu got, and over there it says that she made matzot, and Rashi says the reason she made matzot over there were because Pesach hayah, this was a day of Pesach. So we see that She made those matzot because it was Pesach, ואמר אברהם אוהל אל שרה, ואומר מרי שלא עושים כמחסולת לושי, ועשי עוגות. Rashi says over there that what was she making? She was making matzot because it was Pesach. And therefore, since it was Pesach, we see that the long time beforehand, already they kept doing matzot on Pesach. So over here as well, we see that thing very much, that Am Israel on that day had to bake matzot because it was Pesach, not necessarily because they didn't have time to bake regular bread, therefore we make in matzot. Some learn, as we explained right now, that the reason they baked matzot is because it was Pesach. Hashem could have taken them out also on a different day. Could have taken them out on Chanukah. Could have taken them out on Purim. He decided to take them out on that day, and happened to be that on that day there's a mitzvah to keep and to eat matzot and not to eat chametz. Let's see how the Ramban says it. The Ramban says, why is it that they baked matzot, עפו אותו מצות, מפני המצווה, שנצטבו שאור לא ימצא בבתיכם, כי כל אוכל מחמצת ונחרטה. עם ישראל had to bake matzot, and they wouldn't be allowed to bake chametz. It's not that they didn't have time. Rather, they couldn't bake chametz because it was Pesach. And the fact that it says, לא יוכלו להתמאמה, he explains it differently. That since they didn't have time, they had to bake it afterwards. לאפות אותו בעיר ולשאת אותו אפוי מצות. על כן עשו אותו בצק, and they baked it afterwards. But Am Yisrael were not allowed to bake over here regular bread. They had to bake dafka matzot. And the reason they baked matzot is because it was Pesach. How about chametz? They weren't allowed to have chametz on that day. It was Pesach. He's not the only one that learns like that. That Skenim learns like that. Or Chaim HaKadosh learns like that. That they couldn't have chametz. So now, let's go back and understand what's going on over here. Am Yisrael are asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave on the day of Pesach. He asks them to leave Mitzrayim. So Am Yisrael knows that once you're a refugee, you go out of Mitzrayim, you go to the desert, you have nothing to eat. Halachically, the din and the halacha is that it's pikuach nefesh. You're going to have now children, you're going to have babies, you're going to have the elderly, you're going to have for yourself also. You have no food in the desert. Since you have no food in the desert, you must take with you whatever you have. And now Am Yisrael had over there in each house, I'm sure they had over there cookies and cakes and all kind of breads and all kind of pasta and all kind of food in the closets, in the fridge, whatever it is. And Am Yisrael left everything behind. Logically, they were allowed to pack everything up and take it with them. They need to have food. How are they going to eat outside of Mitzrayim? It's pikuach nefesh. If one is thrown out of his house and he's thrown out to the desert, of course he needs to take, and that is the Erev of Pesach. Of course, if that's the only thing he has, that's what he needs to take with him. It's not Pesach is not one of the things that a person should sacrifice his life. It's not Yareg Vebal Yavor. And therefore, Am Yisrael could have taken those things that they had with them. But Am Yisrael made the calculation that today is Pesach. And on Pesach, you don't eat any chametz. And on Pesach, you eat matzot. And therefore, they were baked matzot. And Hashem asked them to do that. Pesach, today is Pesach, bake matzot. Today is Pesach, throw away and leave behind all your chametz. And Am Yisrael are not asking any questions, and they know that right now this is what you need to do. And although they know that leaving behind all the chametz in the house is something that's going to cost them very much, possibly, because they're going into the desert with nothing else but those matzot that they were asked to bake, but they're doing that without any question. This is how Am Yisrael were always doing mitzvot. In the Holocaust, in the ghettos, we always know that those stories that Am Yisrael were keeping the mitzvot under, camouflage under the eye, seized from the eyes of the Germans. They were able to go to places that nobody sees and provide over there themselves with some kind of creation of sukkah, that they put things together and they put like something on top that it should be a halachically kosher sukkah, and they were able to go under it on the holiday of Pesach. We have stories of how Am Yisrael were able to get in the ghettos all kind of flour to bake out of this matzot and make sure that they don't eat chametz unless they were mamash in a place that they couldn't do that otherwise. And we have documents today of how they sold the chametz. Am Yisrael sold the chametz, although they had nothing there almost. They had half a cracker of something, and they had a quarter of a sandwich or something else. And those things, they made mechirat chametz. And today we see there's a museum in Israel that shows documents of exactly those people, the writing where they're hiding each and everything. That, like today, we write overall, we have chametz and we're selling it, and the address. They wrote everything in details where everything is hidden. The cracker is under the stone on that place. And the quarter sandwich, I have it, is hidden in the tree on that place. Everything is documented. When Am Yisrael come to do mitzvot, they don't see anything else in front of their eyes. They do exactly as the Torah says. And therefore, over here as well, Am Yisrael saw that it's Pesach. Pesach, you can't have chametz. Pesach, you must make matzah. And therefore, they're going with it without any questions. So there, Hashem says, I remember that beautiful thing that you made for me. Lo tzeda lo asu lahem laderech, magid shivchan shel Av Yisrael. It comes to praise Am Yisrael that they didn't say, lo amru ech netzel amidbar belo tzeda. They didn't say, oh, how are we going to leave all the chametz behind, all the cookies, all the crackers, all the food behind, and go out to the desert without anything. No calculation whatsoever. This is what we need to do. It's Pesach. Pesach, there's no questions. We're going right away and we're doing that. Hashem remembers that. So therefore comes out, it's not necessarily a problem with the next thing that happens in our parasha. In our parasha, they're complaining there's no food. Correct. They're complaining there's no food. We're not saying that Am Yisrael didn't complain. Am Yisrael complained throughout the whole Sefer Bamidbar, and they were over there doing all kinds of things that Hashem didn't like. But over here, the praise that Hashem gives Am Yisrael is that whenever there's a holiday, whenever there's a mitzvah involved, they don't do anything else but keep the mitzvah to exactly the letter of the law. You're not allowed to have chametz. You're not allowed to have seor. They left everything behind. They have to bake matzah because it's Pesach. They made it with all the hidurim, with all the dikdukim. Am Yisrael is doing that. So that's what Hashem says on Yirmiyah. Zacharti lachesed neuraich, avat klulotaich, lechtech acharai bamidbar, eretz lo zua. This is something that you're not going to find any other place in the world, that people would sacrifice themselves just to keep the mitzvot of Hashem exactly the way it was said. Another thing that we find in our parasha, in parashat Aman that we're learning right now, is that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Am Yisrael two things. He tells them that tomorrow you're going to have man coming down min hashamayim. And that man, it's going to be exactly the amount of each person. Each person is going to get an exact amount of how many people he has in a family. So if a person had five nefashot in a family, five people, that's the amount of omer, of man, they received Omer la Golgolet mispar nefshotechem. Ish la asher ba'olot tikachu. Each person is going to get exactly to the amount of people he's going to have. Am Yisrael are not asking any questions, and they're doing exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu says. Moshe Rabbeinu says each person should take according to the people of the family, whatever you have. Vayasu kem bnei Yisrael ve'ilketu amarbe v'amamit. ועמודו בעומר ולא עדיף המרבה והמעיד לא יחסיר איש לפי אוכלו לקטו. Each person took exactly that amount. Next thing, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them another thing. He says, now that you, each one took exactly that amount, but make sure you don't leave anything for the next day. ויאמר משה אליהם, איש על יותר ממנו עד בוקר. Don't leave anything for the next day. Make sure to eat everything on that day. Tomorrow you're going to get a new portion. But the portion you got today, that you have to finish and eat today. That already people didn't listen. לא שמעו אל משה, ויתורו אנשים ממנו עד בוקר, וירום תולעים ויבש ויקצוף עליהם משה. דתן ואבירם left that man for the next day. They didn't listen to him. And the question is, why they listened on the first time and they didn't listen afterwards? And we see over here that Datan ואבירם are not consistent. Next thing, On Shabbat, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Friday, ויהי ביום השישי, make sure that day each family should take double the amount. לחם משנה, ויהי ביום השישי, לקטו לחם משנה שני עומר. Each person should take a double portion on a Friday. Take for each person in a family, a double portion. Then they don't have any problem with that. Everybody goes and takes a double portion. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, make sure you don't go on Shabbat to collect the man. You're not going to have any man on Shabbat. Next thing you know, that you have over here people that went to the desert to look for the man. On Shabbat, people went out to look for the man. They didn't find. So what is it? Now they're not listening. They're not listening. What's going on over here? And that is what Hashem is angry. You're not listening to me. What's happening over here? The Tan v'Aviram are having an argument with Moshe Rabbeinu. That is a very strange argument. What do they think when they're doing what they're doing? They weren't ignorant people. They had some kind of thought of doing what they're doing. And the way we wanted to explain it is like this. Datan v'Aviram are saying to Moshe Rabbeinu that whatever you received and Hashem told you, we're going to do exactly as Hashem said. So therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and say a prophecy in Hashem's name, they'll do exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu says, because that you received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's some things, Moshe Rabbeinu, that you didn't accept from Hashem Yitbarach. You're saying it because of you. You coming and commanding us of how to conduct things in our life, how to conduct those with the man, how to go ahead and do things with the man. And whenever it's you that's telling us how to do things, we don't think that you are correct. And the argument was as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu, they're saying, is in a much, much higher level than the regular people. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu later on says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Doresh Mi'imach, Kim Le'ira Et Hashem. Or Moshe Rabbeinu says to Am Yisrael, what is Hashem asking from you? It's almost nothing. Very, very simple things. Yirat Shamayim. So the Gemara in Brachot asks, what does that mean? V'chira milta zutratai? What does that what kind of talk is Moshe Rabbeinu saying to the people? Hashem is asking for almost nothing. What is Hashem? Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach? What is Hashem asking you already? A little bit Yirat Shamayim. What's a big deal? Of course it's a big deal, says the Gemara. It's a small thing. You know how hard it is to get Yirat Shamayim. A person has to work so, so hard. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? So Gemara says, Legabei Moshe Milta Zutratai. Moshe Rabbeinu, since he was in such a high level of Yirat Shamayim, since he had it, it was simple by him. He looked at things as that something very, very simple. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, for him, that's a Milta Zutratai. That's nothing. That's easy to get. But for other people, it wasn't. So Moshe Rabbeinu was in much higher level than Am Yisrael. So Datan v'Aviram are coming to Moshe Rabbeinu and telling him, look, whatever Hashem commanded, we'll do, no questions asked. But you coming to tell us things, extra things, that you are, you came up with it. You are in a much higher level of bitachon, and you want us to be in that level, and we can't be on that level. And therefore, we have to make sure to do things correctly. We have to make sure that if we took food today, we leave a little bit for tomorrow, because by you that you're in such a high level of bitachon, you are absolutely sure you're going to have tomorrow. That is that's the way you look at things. But you are Moshe Rabbeinu. But we simple people, we have to make sure to keep something for tomorrow. Keep for a rainy day. How do we know that tomorrow we're going to be provided? Because you're telling us you have to have bitachon. It's very hard for us. We're not in that level. When a person is not in that level, the Sfarim say that he has to do more ishtadlut than people that are in a higher level. For instance, the Mikhtav Me'Eliyahu says that the ishtadlut a person needs to do, it depends on the level of bitachon he has. If a person is a very high level of bitachon, he can go ahead, as Rav Shmuel Salant said, that a person could just go and buy a lottery ticket, and with that, if he needs to gain the profit, he'll get it. And that is enough for him, for his level of bitachon. A person that is in a lower level of bitachon, he's going to have to do more. What's the idea behind it? He explains it the following. Since Hashem made the world in such a way that the miracle, everything in the world is a miracle, but everything needs to be covered. Hashem wanted that the world should be running in a natural way. Everything is hidden. All the miracles are hidden. You see things constantly that are a miracle, the sun coming out, a person wakes up in the morning, he opens his eyes. These are all miracles. But they're covered up with the teva, with the nature. We'll wake up in the morning, we open our eyes, we don't feel it's a miracle because Hashem made it that it should be nature, and we're not going to feel it necessarily. And every person should understand it's the same thing with Parnasa. A person goes to work and things work out that he should get Parnasa. This is all a miracle. Why should he get the Parnasa? But it's covered up with nature. So now we need to do enough Hishtadlut just to see that I could cover this up with the nature and say and understand that it wasn't an S. And my avodah, my work over here is to understand that it still was provided in a miraculous way from Hashem Yitbarach. So therefore, if a person is in a very high level, he could just buy a lottery ticket, as he says, the Mikhtav Eliyahu brings down. And if he wins the lottery ticket, it's covered up that he could say, look, it's because of the lottery ticket. But Be'etzem, he needs to understand that it wasn't because of that. It was because Hashem provided him. And if a person is in a lower level of bitachon, so therefore, gaining the prize with the lottery ticket, by him, it would be a clear miracle. So he's going to have to do more hishtadlut for that thing. And therefore, some people have to go to work, and depends how many hours. If a person goes to work 10 minutes and he gets a lot of money, by him it's a miracle. By people that are in a higher level of bitachon, that's by them. Everything is anyway provided by Hashem. So they're not going to feel it. So it depends on your level of bitachon. Coming back to us, Datan and Aviram say to Moshe Rabbeinu, look, you are in a much higher level. By you, of course, everything you could do and not take anything and not leave anything for tomorrow, because you believe that and you trust that Hashem will provide you tomorrow. But we, the normal people, regular people, we're not in that level. We have to keep for tomorrow. And this is the conversation over here between Moshe Rabbeinu and Datan ve'Aviram. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ze hadavar she'tziva Hashem liktu mimenu ish lefi ochlo, omer lagolgolet." No problem, we'll take. People went and they took their portion. But then Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayomer Moshe aleim al ish al yoter mimenu ad boker." Don't leave for tomorrow. Pay attention that there's a change in the words. In the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ze hadavar she'tziva Hashem." Hashem commanded every person should go and collect Omer LaGolgolet. But in that, Datan ve'Aviram say, if Hashem said, absolutely, we have to do what Hashem said. And we believe you're a prophet. And therefore, whatever you tell us in the name of Hashem, we'll do. But then Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, "Vayomer Moshe aleim ishu al yoter mimenu ad boker." Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say over here that Hashem commanded him. Moshe Rabbeinu says the right thing is not to take anything for the next morning. Just take and eat everything today. That already Datan ve'Aviram didn't listen. Lo shamu el Moshe ve'otiru anashim ad boker. We have to provide for tomorrow. We have to keep for tomorrow. We have to keep a little bit for a rainy day. That's what happened over here. Second story with Shabbat. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he says in the name of Hashem, "Vayomer aleim asher diber Hashem, Shabbaton, Shabbat, Kodesh la'Hashem, machar et asher ofu, efu et asher bashelu, bashelu." Each person should take a double portion and prepare it. This is a command of Hashem, okay? Hashem commanded, we'll do. Whatever Hashem says, we'll do. Next thing you know, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayomer Moshe, ichlu ayom, ki Shabbat ayom la'Hashem, lo timtzau basadeh." You're not going to find anything tomorrow. Eat it today. That already Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say in Hashem's name. Moshe Rabbeinu says, eat everything today. That's the reason you got a double portion. So people tell him, 1 minute, Moshe Rabbeinu. But you're in such a high level, you don't have to go tomorrow and look for bread, look for man outside, because you believe that everything was provided today and that's Shabbat. But we have to do the Ishtadlut. We have to go tomorrow and do the Ishtadlut. And therefore, people went out and showed with that this is what we need to do. You are in a much higher level, and we're not in that level. So therefore, that's the reason they went outside. "Vayi bayom ha-shvi'i yitzu min ha'am lilkot ve'lo matzau." Hashem gets very angry. "Vayom ha-shem ol'bshe ad'ana me'antem lishmor mitzvotai ve'torotai." He gets very angry at the people. He gets very angry at Datan ve'Aviram. And we need to know why. Why is it that Hashem gets so angry at them? Over here, lichora, they have a good ta'ana. They're saying the right thing. So why is it that he gets so angry at the people? They're not in that level. If a person is not in that level, what do you want from them? And the way we explained it, that when a person is in the midbar, in such a place, he sees that everything works already unnaturally. He sees that things work for him the way that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him. You see that so many things were provided by Moshe Rabbeinu, and they see that they're under the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, you need to understand that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu says is not just came out from his own idea. Rather, everything is from Hashem. And this is how also we see that Rashi tells us on this mitzvah, mitzvotai v'torotai, that Hashem told everything to Moshe Rabbeinu, that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu says, everything that Moshe Rabbeinu tell people to do is also under the command of Hashem, which means when you have somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, you have somebody so big, and he tells you what to do, a person must do that, and it's considered as Hashem told him. And even more than that, a person can't just stay in the same place of bitachon that he is and say, I'm not in that level. Rather, a person needs to go out of his way and make sure to push forward, push ahead, and make sure that he builds himself up with those inyanim of emunah and bitachon. And therefore, they correct on what they said normally, that, look, you're on a much higher level, we not. But over here, since Moshe Rabbeinu told them this is what you need to do, you need to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he talks in such a way, it's also a command that could be provided from Hashem. And this is how Rashi brings down over here. And therefore, they had to follow his rule exactly to the letter of the law. And more than that, they have to understand that they have to pick themselves up. You can't just put yourself in a certain position in Emunah and Bitachon and say that you're comfortable over here. This is good. This is how I'm going to be. No, a person has to make sure that he pushes forward. A person needs to make sure that his Bitachon is elevated, his Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is elevated, and not stay unnatural on that aspect. Thank you for listening for Divrei Torah. After the following song, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll take your phone number at the studio at 718-683-5858. 718-683-5858. Our text number over here is 347-927-8398.
Yeshua v'nechama Sheizava u'refua Chayim v'sava Yeshua v'nechama Sheizava u'refua Chayim v'sava Yeshua v'nechama Sheizava u'refua Chayim v'sava Yeshua v'nechama Sheizava u'refua
here on the questions and answers. We have some on the text, and we have one caller. No caller, okay. Everybody's welcome to call us at 718-683-5858. We'll take some of the texts over here. And the first thing we have is, can I toivel something that I'm giving as a present to someone else? The Achronim did not allow to do that. And it's a very common question before Purim, because people normally buy some kind of plates made out of glass, and glass needs to be toiveled. And therefore, you have a problem. In one hand, you can't put the food on top of it when it wasn't nitval. You know, the Rama says in Kuf Chaf that you can't use kelim even temporarily, even one time, without tvilat kelim. So you can't do that. And one would want to say, put, let's say, chocolates in, and under the chocolate they have some kind of wrapper, or candies with some kind of wrapper. Rav Eliashiv says that wrapper is batel to the food and it still needs tvila. So therefore, one wants to take it to be tovel. But you can be tovel for someone else, unless he was kone already, it's his already, and now he's going to give you, he's going to make you a shliach to be tovel for him. But otherwise, you can't just be tovel beforehand. The explanation to that is brought down in Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He has a long tshuva in Sefer Tvilat Kelim, and this is also how the Achronim say, except Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, that allows Bitovel in such an instant, but all the other Achronim did not allow such a thing, and it's based, the reasoning is based on the Shach and Etaz in Siman Kuf Chaf, that's over there. They say that Kelim that a person bought for Schora to sell, he doesn't need, they don't require Tvila, and you're not even allowed to Bitovel for other people. So let's say a store owner is not allowed to Bitovel for other people. And they're saying, the Achronim are bringing that it's not only when you want to sell those kelim, you want to give them over as well, that should be davar asur. And Chacham Ovadia even bring much more than that. Even if you're using it, let's say in a restaurant or a place like that, he says that one doesn't need to do tvila for such a thing. Lechatchila we machmir to do tvila with that bracha, but definitely to be yotze for the other person, that becomes much of a, more of a problem. And therefore, you have over here such a problem that you can't be tovel the kli for other people. Let's take one of the callers. B'chavad, hello.
Hi, Rav.
Yes.
Shalom aleichem.
Shalom v'cha.
My question is, restaurant owners that don't make the food visually sold for Sephardi customers,
Okay, good question. So the answer to this question, let's just give a little bit understanding of your question. There is a difference between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, how to do Bishul Israel. Bishul Israel, according to Ashkenazim, it's enough that one just have the goy put the food on the fire. If the Jews just turned on the fire or the oven, once he turned on the fire, that's good enough that a goy should put the food on top of that. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel disagrees on this this idea that we just said, that is the halacha in the Rema. And he says in Kuf Yud Gimel Seif Zayin that this thing of shgirat atanur doesn't help unless it's for bread, but not for cookings. And therefore, a Sfaradi must have a Jew putting the food on top of the fire. So just to give, first of all, understanding that whenever you have a Sfaradi, he should try to go, whenever he orders food from the restaurant, he should ask the person that he wants it to be Bishul Israel for Sfaradim. Usually the code is, you say that you want Shomer Shabbos or Super Kosher, and they understand and they ask the Jew to put the things on the fire. But when you have a store owner or a restaurant owner, and he makes the food in such a way that that's not good for Sfaradim, it's good only for Ashkenazim, and the Sfaradi, he can't eat that food like that. So therefore, you're trying to see, maybe he's violating Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol, because he's putting Michshol in front of the Jew. So we spoke in the past that there's a machloket in that aspect. When I give you something that's mutar for one and asur for the other. Am I violating lifnei iver lo titeh moshol? Exactly like this. It's a machloket that the ktav sofer, between the ktav sofer, the mishnah lamelech, and the mabit. And they're arguing, do you say lifnei iver lo titeh moshol in such a thing? That by giving you something that I'm not allowed to have, that I'm allowed to have, but you're not allowed to have, I'm giving you something that's asur. Is that the way you look at it? That I'm giving you something that's asur, that's called lifnei iver lo titeh moshol? Or do I say that since for me it's mutar, therefore for you it should I'm not violating by that lifnei iver lo titeh moshol? This is a machloket, the opposite aspect from what you're asking. Again, let me explain that. I didn't explain it so well. I want to explain it again. When you have such a thing that for me something is asur and for you something is mutar, so then there's a machloket. I hold that this is asur and you hold it's mutar. By giving you something, since for me it's asur, could be that I'm violating lifnei iver. Or am I saying that since for you it's mutar, I'm not violating? This is this opposite aspect. But on your case, that I hold something is mutar and you hold something is asur, that's a beferush rema and shach in Siman Kuf Yutet, that he says that you're not allowed to give the other person something that's asur. It's a gemara also in Chulin, I think in Perek Kol HaBasar, that the gemara over there says, the chas le abba that should give something that asur for the other person. And the shach brings that down, halacha lemaaseh in Kuf Yutet in Yoredea. And the story on that, you can see in Sukkah, I believe it should be Daf Zayin, that you had over there two chachamim that came to the Sukkah of the Resh Galuta, and they went into a Sukkah that they held it's not kosher because of the shach was coming down in such a way that they held it's not kosher. And the Resh Galuta held it is kosher, and he let them sit in that Sukkah. And the Ritva wants to know, how did they sit in such a Sukkah? How did he allow them to sit in such a Sukkah? If it's lifnei iver lo titeh moshol, he's providing them a sukkah that's not kosher in their eyes. The Ritva explains over there that you don't say that idea of lifnei iver lo titeh moshol if the other person could see it with his own eyes. Whenever he could see it with his own eyes, and he could know that, and he could see, so therefore there's no lifnei iver lo titeh moshol. So they over there, when they went into the sukkah of the Resh Galuta, they picked their eyes, they see the sukkah is not kosher according to their understanding. So therefore, there's no isur of lifnei iver lo titeh moshol, because it's like you announced to them, you told them, you didn't have to express it because it's something you could see. Same thing over here. Says the shach, that same shach, and that ritva that I just explained, they say that if you can know that by yourself, the person is not going to violate lifnei iver lo titeh moshol. Over here also, when a Sfaradi goes to an Ashkenaz restaurant, he knows that they don't provide food in such a way, and therefore the owner doesn't violate lifnei iver lo titeh moshol. And but in a case that it would be like, let's say, something that they wouldn't know, for instance, they go to a Sfaradi restaurant that should be with all the halachot of the Sfaradim, in such a case, you would be violating lifnei iver lo titeh moshol because they wouldn't know. They think that you're giving them something that's kosher for them. But in our case right now, when a Sfaradi goes to an Ashkenaz restaurant, he knows that such a thing is not allowed to be consumed. Okay, next question, Bechavon. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Question, if you have no, let's say for Sfaradim, you have no kemach yasham bread, and it's Shabbat, do you just eat the bread that you have? You have to go to a Shabbat, or you're in a hospital. Wherever you are, you have to eat bread that's not Yashan and it's Shabbat. Should you just not eat bread, or should you eat the bread?
Okay, so your question is let's again give a little bit understanding that there's something called Kemach Yashan, and that is something that was rooted after Pesach. And something that was rooted after Pesach is considered chadash, and you're not allowed to eat it. And there's a machloket between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rema. The Rema says, it's brought down in two places, Taf Peitet in Ilchot Pesach, at the end of Ilchot Pesach, and also in Yored Deah, he brings down the Ilchot Chadash, there's a machloket over there, he brings the Shulchan Aruch, that one needs to keep Kemach Yashan, even in in outside Eretz Israel, and even if it was made by a goy, and so on and so forth. Now, the Rema over there in Siman Resh Tzadik Gimel says there's something called Sfek Sfeka, the two Sfekot. One Sfek is that maybe it's from this year and maybe from the previous years. If it's from the previous year before this year, then it's already becomes Yashan, it's fine. Second Sfek, even maybe it's all from this year, but maybe from before Pesach, so that's already would be allowed. So you have two Sfekot. One Sfek, maybe it's from last year. One Sfek, maybe it's from this year, but before Pesach. The Rema allows it with a Sfek Sfeka, and the Poskim, like you can see over there in the Mishnah Berurah, they say that it's Mamash, Bedochak, in a place that they didn't have, and so on and so forth. They Ma'arich on that. We're not going to go into this. By the way, the Hasidim rely on the Bach that says that if it's Kemach of Oved Kochavim, it's mutar. Also, there's Rabbeinu Yoel in Resh Tzadik Gimel in Yoreh De'ah that's brought down in the Tur that allows such a thing. Also in Chutz La'aretz, that's another reason to be mekel. But Sfaradim don't have that because the Shulchan Aruch clearly says that the Isur of Chadash is in Israel and it's outside Eretz Israel, b'chutz la'aretz, ben b'shel Israel, ben shel Ovdei Kochavim. So therefore, what can you do when you come into the table and that's the only bread you have? You didn't provide yourself beforehand, kemach, Yashan Chala. So the Or Letzion in Chelek Aleph says that you could rely for the sake of Shabbat, for the mitzvah of Onek Shabbat, to rely on those Sfek Sfekot of the Rema. The question of the Sfek Sfek on the Rema is a question that Rabbi Kiva asks, that Rabbi Kiva Iger, he asks that it's considered one Sfek. Those two Sfekot are exactly one Sfek. It's called Sfek Mishem Echad. Both of them are Sfek Mishem Echad, which means, what's the difference if you're going to extend it from last year or this year, or extend it before Pesach and this Pesach? The only question is it before Pesach or after Pesach? It's the same Safek as saying last year or this year. It's the same Safek. And therefore, how could you say such a Sfek Sfeka? That's a question of Rabbi Akiva Iger. And the answer to that is really, we can answer from the Noda Biyuda that Chacham Ovadia brought in Yabi Omer, that Noda Biyuda says whenever you have one Safek that's extending more than the other Safek, it's more berevach than the other Safek, you could make out of that a Sfek Sfeka, and this is how the Rema works over here. But over here, besides this Sfek Sfeka, Yalkut Yosef says we can add to those Sfek Sfekot also the fact that the Shita of Rabbeinu Yoel and the Shita of the Bach that bring la'alacha that if it's made in chutz la'aretz or it's made by a goy. So over here you have those, although the Shulchan Aruch was not posek like that halacha lemaseh, but Chacham Ovadia brought a couple of times that whenever you have some sfekot, you could say sfek sfeka even on top of Maran, especially that whenever Maran says something, we can say that the din that he says is only when it's just like that. But if you add to that something else, so then it would be makel. Chacham Ovadia says that many times. And therefore, over here, you have a bunch of sfekot that you could rely for Shabbat Kodesh. First of all, the Sfek Sfeka of the Rema that the Or Letzion brings down, Halacha Lemaaseh in Chelek Aleph, and he speaks about when he was in America and he was able to be matir in such a way. And together with that, the two other sfekot that the Yalkut Yosef adds to that, that we just spoke on this halacha, take a look at Samit Gimel and Resh Pei Tet in Or HaChaim. Let's take the next caller, B'chavot. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
If you think in your mind that you want to give tzedakah for if you want to give tzedakah to any organization, do you have to give it?
Okay. So that is a machloket rishonim, and it's brought down in Ilchot Tzedakah. Your question also in Choshen Mishpat. We have a Rama that brings those two opinions, and it's a machloket, I believe, the Ran and the Rashba, that do we say that a person that decided in his heart is giving tzedakah, that's considered tzedakah. The question is, how do you consider that? The Gemara says that kol nediv lev, the Pasuk says, kol nediv lev, you see that nedava in the heart is good enough. Do you say kol nediv lev and nedava in the heart is good enough? Or Beficha, says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I think Yudalef, Beficha zu tzedakah. So you have to give tzedakah. It's only considered tzedakah when you said it in your mouth, not when you thought it in the heart. Lemaisa de Rama is machmir, that even in the heart, it would be considered tzedakah. That's how he says in Chot Tzedakah, Siman Resh Nun Chet, all the way in the end of Resh Nun Chet. and you can take a look at the Rav Pealim that says like that as well. And we have, so this would be a machloket, as I explained before. You have the Modchi that says such a thing, that you have to, if you think in your heart that to give something to tzedakah, you must complete that thing and do it. But the Shevet HaLevi explains the following. Listen well, that this is only when you completely made up your mind, which means, let's say you thought to your heart, you know what, I want to give tzedakah to this person, looks like I want to give tzedakah to, but it's not yet gemirut dat. You didn't completely consider it, that's considered given. I'm for sure giving it. If you had that second thought, it's not yet completely by you done in your heart, so therefore that doesn't apply. This is how it's brought down in Sefer Orach Tzedakah. So it comes out like this. By Ashkenazim, definitely there's a din of Belibo, that Kol Nediv Lev, that once a person decided he's giving it, you would have to give it, as the Mordechai brings down, as the Ramah is posek halacha lemaaseh, and he says that this is the halacha. In Choshen Mishpat also, in Siman Yud Bet, it would be brought down. And by Sfaradim, there's a machloket how to understand it, because the Shulchan Aruch didn't say clearly how the halacha should be. This is a Ramah over here in Resh Nun Tet. Yeah, bechavod. Next caller.
I'm going to play Monopoly.
Do you want to know if you can play Monopoly on Shabbat?
Yeah.
Okay. Monopoly on Shabbat, we said already in the past that since it's a game, so we spoke many times about who's allowed to play games and who's not. But the Monopoly itself, the Or Letzion says, and also Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach say, that since it's fake money, one is allowed to play with it. It's not considered like real money, and therefore the answer is yes, you can play on Shabbat Monopoly. Next caller, Bechavad. Hello? Hello? Okay. Texts. Do I have to give maaser from allowance? The answer is yes. You have to give maaser from anything you get. Anything. Everything you have. It's Tosfot in Ta'anit, Daftet Amud Bet. The Tosfot brings over there that you have to give from everything. And Rabbeinu Yonah explains everything. Whether it's a gift, whether it's allowance, whether it's salary, whatever it is, you have to give. But there's an exception to that, that Rav Moshe says in Igrot Moshe, that if the father, let's say the one who's giving the allowance, doesn't want his kid to give a maaser, so then he's not allowed to give maaser, and he has to keep the whole money, especially if the father gave already maaser from the money, and he tells him that it was already separated, and you don't need to worry about it, and give maaser. Next question. Yeah, Pravod. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
To open a tissue box on Shabbos.
Okay, so tissue box, when you're opening it on the lines and you're making yourself exactly, you know, it has like a circle on top normally, and you are opening that, that has a couple of problems. First of all, it's metaken kli, that the Shulchan Aruch brings in Chinyu Dalet, that you're not allowed to be metaken kli. And although the Shulchan Aruch says that it's, if it's a mustaki, it's allowed, which means shivrei kelim that's put together, and the achronim, like of Shlomo Zalman and Chaim Ovadia say, that all our things today are like mustaki because you throw them out right after use. But still, one should be mechmir lechatchila if he doesn't have to. Secondly, I have another problem over here of mechatech, when you're opening exactly on that line. So you have a machloket, Rav Eliashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Do you say that it's mechatech? Mechatech means cutting something on exact line. And according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it would be not a problem, because he says that line that you have in order to open it, it just was made for you to make it easier to open. But not that you care that it should be cut exactly on that line. Rav Eliashiv disagrees, and he says that it's asur mishum mechatech, and that's already a very big problem. Rav Moshe Levi in Menuchat Ahava sided with Rav Shlomo Zalman on that idea. You have over here a problem that you're opening and you're making a nice petach to that keli. You're making a nice petach that you're opening such a thing. So therefore, if a person needs those tissues, the best way is to rip the box to a place that it's considered mekalkel, which means you're ripping the box in such a way that you can't use it again. But make sure when you rip it in such a way, and then the box is not used, you can throw it out. Try to make sure that you're not ripping any letters, because according to the Reman Shin Mem, it's a problem to rip letters because of mochek. Although there are reasons to be mekel, and the Sfaradim are nohek to be mekel, but if you could, because of different reasons over here, you have few de Rabbanan that the Mishnah Bura and Shara Tzion says that whenever you have two de Rabbanan or davar sheno mitkaven, it will be mutar. Over here you have two de Rabbanan. It's not mochek al menat lichtov. It's mekalkel, and therefore, since you don't mean to be mochek, it's considered only psik reisha. And since it's only psik reisha, the Shara Tzion says that whenever you have two de Rabbanan with a psik reisha, it's allowed. Also, he says the same thing in Chinted Zayin. And this is how Chacham Ovadia is posek. This is how the Or Letzion is posek. This is also how the Menuchat Ahava is posek. But if you could, since the Ashkenazim are machmir and you could be machmir, a person should try to be machmir. Let's say the next caller b'chavod. Hello? Hello? You think the shot?
Wipes for the baby to in Shabbat.
You're asking if you can use wipes for the baby.
I stand that someone say it's maybe the schita because you're having to do water. You want the water to take off the dirty.
Got it. So you want to know how you can use wipes on Shabbat, and if you can use wipes on Shabbat. So you need to know that this is a big discussion in the Achronim, and those that wanted to say that it's asur is because, yes, you have some liquid within the wipe, and whenever you are cleaning the baby, you intend that this liquid should come out, so in order to clean the baby. The reason to be mekel is brought down in Chacham Ovadia, in Chazon Ovadia, and also Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. If you don't actually squeeze hard on top of the baby this wipe and just do it lightly, and the reason is because not necessarily that it will squeeze out, so therefore you could be mekel with that, and also because you have liquid on top of the wipe as well, so therefore maybe that is the moisture that would clean out the baby. Also, you have the halakha that's brought down in Igrot Moshe that he says that one is allowed to use all kind of tissues and napkins on something that got wet on Shabbat, because he says there's no schita on papers. There's no schita on papers. And he brings down from the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Kaf that whenever you have another, you have two leniency, could be allowed, you could allow such a thing. So over here, since it's Derech Lichluch, and you have over here the fact that the way you're using it is you not necessarily that you're squeezing out, as Rav Moshe says. Many argued this of Moshe, but he says that whenever you're using a paper, there's no schita in a paper, and you're not mechaven necessarily to take out, because you could benefit also from the water that's on top of the tissue. So there are a few leniencies. Lemaisa Chacham Ovadia allows, Rav Shlomo Zalman allows. There are many those that are machmir. If you want to be machmir, so use the spritz and clean it out with tissues. If you want to be mekel, make sure that whenever you use it lightly. Don't squeeze it very hard or press it very hard on the baby. I think we're over time already. Thank you very much. This is the show of Lecha Dodi on the Jewish Radio. My name is Rabbi Shai Tahan. Have a Shabbat Shalom.